Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Now, some of John the Baptist's earliest memories were the prophecies that his father had heard concerning himself. In fact, even though he probably didn't remember it, the very first words from his father were about the Savior of Israel, and then that John would be called the prophet of the Most High, for he would go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. John grew up hearing about all the great things that would unfold in his lifetime, things that he would have an intimate part in doing. There must have been plenty of moments when John was thinking, what will this look like when I prepare the way of the Lord? Will I be great and a celebrated prophet of the Lord? We can only imagine the things that John thought about when he was thinking about his future. We can only imagine that his parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah, we can only imagine their great pride. It would have led them to speak so well of him, both to himself and to everyone else. If you think about it, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth could not have children. They were very old in age at the time when the angel of the Lord met them and said, "You will have a son. This is a special, special boy." When you thought about the things in your life, when you think about what your life will hold, what do you imagine? Or if you're young, what do you picture your life to be? Your thoughts were and are probably filled with thoughts of good things for you and your family. I remember when I used to think about my future in high school, I always thought I would be married, I'd have a couple kids, and I would have horses. And after every Sunday after church, I didn't think I was going to be a pastor then, but after I thought I would take my family to church, and then I would come back, and I would leave them at the house, and I'd go ride horses. It's just, I don't know, it's things that I pictured. Now, some of that's true, but I don't go riding horses after service. But when you think about your future, what do you think about your future spouse? Chances are you don't think of someone who is hard to communicate with. When you picture your future job, chances are you do not think of it being unsatisfying or disappointing. No, when you think of your thoughts of the future, you think how great I want it to be. Now, as you compare the dreams that you had for this point in your life to the way that your life has turned out so far, some of you might be thinking, is this it? What in the world has happened? What's happening? Well, that's exactly what John in our gospel was doing. John had all of these expectations, but when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Look at where John's life led him. He was going to change the world. He was going to usher in the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He was going to play a huge role in making this world a better place. But here was John, sitting in a prison cell. He had tried to do all of the right things. He had tried to be faithful to God and his word, and look where that led him. John was alone. He was in prison, the same prison that he would end up dying in. At this point in John's life, he looked around him and said, "Is this it? If Jesus is the Christ, if he's God's son, why isn't he doing anything? Why am I in prison? If he really is the one that we're waiting for, what's going on? Was all that hard work that I spent proclaiming Jesus as the Christ worth it? When I look at where my life has led me, it seems like it wasn't." When you look at the disappointments in your life, do you ever wonder, is it worth it being a Christian? In your darkest moments, have you ever thought, if God really cared about me, I wouldn't be suffering this way? Or have you ever been upset and thought, I've followed God, I go to church, I do my best, and yet look at the grades that I'm getting. Look at the problems that I have in my romantic life, with my spouse, with my parents, my children. Instead of blessings, all I see is a prison. We have all felt this way at times. Maybe you're not feeling this way this morning, but we all have felt that way. We can all understand the question that John the Baptist asked when he said, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" Jesus is not dismayed by John's question in the slightest. Jesus answered John's disciples in this way: "You go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them." In answering John, Jesus does not point out John's situation at all as proof or disproof of him being God in the flesh. It's important to hear. When he answers John, he lets him know your situation does not prove whether or not I am the Christ or whether or not I am God. Instead, Jesus points to his ministry among the people in the lowest situations of life. In the person of Jesus, the down and out have good news proclaimed to them. Those who had no hope now have hope in Jesus. Hope for today and hope for tomorrow in heaven. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And look where God is standing. He is standing with the people in the hardest situations. He is with the blind. He is with the lame. He is with the lepers, the deaf, and the dead. He is their sight. He is their healing. He is their cleansing. He is their life. He is good news that is proclaimed to these people in their situation. And John would not be alone either. For in the very message of Jesus, by his disciples, Christ would be with John in his prison cell. What is your situation today? What are the things that make up the bars of your prison cell? Are you spiritually blind? Are you lame with physical illness? Do you have sin that needs cleansing? Are you near death? Is your college experience filled with anxiety and struggle? Is your retirement filled with long days and disappointment? Are you lonely? Do you feel smothered by your family responsibilities? What's your prison? Emmanuel, God is with you in the person of Jesus. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is with us in teaching and sacrament. I mentioned it this last week, but it's worth repeating again this week. Jesus said, "Whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also." How did we begin this service? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then right after we begin in his name, we say, "Our help is in the name of the Lord. Where his name is, there he is also." He is with you in baptism and the supper. Your situation may feel like a prison, but look who is with you. The God who created the heavens and the earth is with you, my friends. And if God is for you, who in this world can be against you? Even though things haven't worked out quite the way that we planned, it doesn't mean that God isn't in control. He is. He is doing his work, which means that he is doing the best for you and for all who he will call according to his purpose. Even if the entire world, or even if we, don't understand it, he is doing his work. We often judge what's good or bad in this life by whether or not we like the situation that we find ourselves in. We, like John, would rather have God take us out of our prisons, even if that means that the blind don't see, the lame don't walk, the deaf don't hear, or that the poor don't have the gospel preached to them. So often we're not thinking about the others. We're just thinking about ourselves. And you may not know it, but chances are your suffering is for the betterment of someone else. I think about students that suffer it's filled with anxiety. There's suicide hotlines that go off this time of year during exams and stuff. It's serious. But your suffering isn't just for you or your future. You are suffering to learn a vocation to help others in need in the future. It's important not just to think about the situation that you're in, but for the people that will be better off for the trade that you are learning to do. Ultimately, when I was going through seminary, that was one thing I had to keep looking at. This isn't just for me. This isn't just for me. There is a reason that you are where you are. You may not know it, but there will be somebody. You may not know them yet, but there will be someone who will benefit. Who knows how John's Christianity rubbed off on the prison guards? Who knows how your faith in Jesus can rub off from the people that you are around? I talked with one person who's now out in the work world, and they said, there is something different about you. Maybe someday they'll ask what that is. Or if you end up in a hospital, who knows how your faith in God will rub off on the people that take care of you. I knew somebody in hospice this last year. On her deathbed, wanted the nurse to come in to hear the gospel with me as I proclaimed it to her. You may like look at your life and wonder, is this it? Why am I here? Well, my friends, you may never know. We just want to remain faithful and continue to receive God's gifts for Jesus, no matter what our life situation is. We don't need to understand everything. All we need to know is that God is in control and that He is working all things for the good. And Jesus finished His message to John with these words, "And blessed is the one who's not offended by me." Jesus' life for us led Him to the shame of the cross, which He bore out of His love for us, out of His desire to be God with us. God was not ashamed. God was not ashamed that His love led Him into a situation of hanging naked on a tree so that He could take away our sins through His death and resurrection. Do not be ashamed of Jesus in your situation. You are right where He wants you to be. Is this it? Well, for now it may be. But that's okay, for you are right where God wants you. You are in the best place to hear His word and to serve others. God is with you. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until He returns for you. Amen.